Hey, it's Dan Patrick. Here's your chance to score with Maaco Auto Body Shop. Join us in San Francisco for Super Week. That's right, a trip for two, airfare, hotel stay, and VIP access to see us do our show. Maaco also giving away 5 free paint jobs and 10 swag bags. Enter daily for a chance to win. Get official rules at danpatrick.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Open to contiguous U.S. D.C. residents 18 or over. Ends 11/23/25.
Si usas la frase persona precavida vale por dos, the Colgate Total Active Prevention System is for you. Con una pasta dental reformulada, un cepillo de dientes innovador y un enjuague bucal antibacterial diseñados para trabajar juntos y ser 15 veces más eficaces al reducir el crecimiento de bacterias in just 6 weeks, starting from week one. Compared to a non-antibacterial fluoride toothpaste and flat trim toothbrush, helping you prevent oral health problems like cavities and gingivitis before they start. Cómpralo en shop.colgate.com/total and be dentist ready.
Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, in the middle of the night, she heard something in the darkness, and it wasn't anyone who should have been in the room.
This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Thank you so much for listening, and let us know about your real ghost stories if you've got one. Leave us a voicemail at 855-853-4802 or write it down. Go to realghoststoriesonline.com, and you can support the show by being a premium subscriber. You can sign up through Apple Podcasts or patreon.com/realghoststories. There's no commercials, advance episodes, and access to the archive. I'm Carol Hughes, and happy almost Thanksgiving, Kathy Gordon.
Well, I know. I've been, you know, doing the stuff, making the green bean casserole, and I like cornbread. Though my corn, like I always tease and say, my cornbread is more like corn cake.
Oh, that sounds delicious.
Delicious. It is very delicious. And, you know, just starting making cranberry sauce, just starting to get stuff ready for the big day tomorrow.
Because this won't air until after Thanksgiving, but as we record it, it is the day before Thanksgiving.
That's right.
Me, on the other hand, I don't like cooking. And I don't enjoy it, never have. But last year, once in a while, I'm like, that sounds like I want to do that. So I did last year. I made all the stuff. This year, it's like, I'm going to make penne. And it's just me and my friend. And we're going to go to the movies and just hang out and eat and
what movie?
Have a cocktail. We're going to go see this movie, Eternity. And and it's a little investigation for the show, maybe. But it is... The trailer looks kind of cute. It's an afterlife rom-com. So it's like a woman dies and both of her former husbands have died apparently too. And she has to decide who she wants to spend her afterlife with.
Oh, that's terrible.
I know, but they say it's delightful. So we'll find out. Because does she spend her afterlife with the one who died earlier or the one who died later? How does she figure it out? I don't know.
Which one's cuter? Which
afterlife one's smarter, hilarity which ensues.
Okay. Well, I'll be anxious to hear what you think.
Yeah. So I just thought that would be kind of fun. But the one I want to go see is Wicked, but that one's really like all the tickets are gone basically. But I told another friend of mine we'd go see that one together. So rather than see it twice, I thought
I really
see
enjoyed
else.
The first half of Wicked.
I did too.
So we shall see what we think of the second half.
And I wanted to narrow the movie down tomorrow to whatever was in the 21 and over theater, because number one, it's 21 and over, but it's all recliners. And so I'm like, that's where I'm going to go watch a movie tomorrow.
Oh, well, 21 and over, you know, should have a recliner. Like, good Lord.
Mm-hmm.
We
that's
all
where
it.
I every time I go to the movie, not in those theaters, I'm like, oh my God, I can't recline. How am I supposed to sit here for 2.5 hours?
Right.
Yeah. So now, I'll let you know if the afterlife rom-com is good or not.
Okay. Who's in it, by the way? Really quick. Anybody we know?
Well, no, not anyone I know, but my friend who I'm going with, Serena, she said Miles Teller. So I'm not even really sure who that is, but he's in the movie.
I love him.
Okay.
Good.
I think I might have seen him host Saturday Night Live or seen him do something, maybe.
Yeah, he's adorable.
Okay. So he's in it. It was that or The Running Man, and I really don't love action movies, as you well know.
Yeah, you hate those.
Yeah, I do. So here's our first story. It says, I've been listening to the podcast every morning on my way to work for the last few weeks, and after hearing how many people have experiences similar to mine, I figured, okay, maybe I'm not the only one who's been through something like this. I don't consider myself super sensitive or psychic or anything like that. I've always been able to pick up on things that don't make sense. You know that feeling when a room looks totally normal, but something in you whispers, you're not alone here? I have felt like that since I was a kid. The story I want to share happened when I was in college. It's been about 10 years ago, but I remember the details like it was yesterday because it honestly changed the way I sleep and probably always will.
Oh.
I lived in student housing, one of the older buildings on campus. It looked like every other brick residence hall on the outside, but everyone joked that the back half of the building used to be something else. No one was clear on that something else, what that was. Some said an old hospital ward. Others said temporary rooms for veterans recovering from the war. Most of the weird stories came from the basement, which had this ancient laundry room with flickering lights and pipes that groaned loud enough to interrupt conversations. But my floor, the fourth, was usually quiet. I lived in a split unit with one other girl. We each had our own tiny bedroom. We shared a bathroom and a little kitchenette. She went home on weekends a lot, so I usually had the place to myself from Friday to Sunday. One Thursday night, my roommate left for the weekend as usual. My boyfriend at the time stayed over, and we went to bed pretty late. My bed was pushed up against a wall, and I slept on the inside facing that wall. He slept behind me facing the same direction. I fell asleep fast, no dreams, no tossing around. One second I was awake, the next completely out. At some point in the middle of the night, I woke up instantly, not groggy, not confused, just awake, like someone snapped their fingers right next to my ear. The room felt colder than usual, enough that I pulled the blankets up without thinking, and then I heard a voice. It wasn't loud, it wasn't threatening, it was almost gentle, but it came from across the room, not from the bed. It said, "You don't have to be scared anymore." That was it, just that one sentence. My first thought was my boyfriend was talking in his sleep. I whispered his name, thinking maybe he'd respond. Nothing. I whispered a little louder, still nothing. Finally, I nudged him with my elbow. He woke up confused and asked why I was shaking him. I asked if he'd said anything. He said no, and honestly, he looked annoyed that I woke him up. The voice didn't match him anyway. It didn't even match any voice I knew. I couldn't tell if it was male or female. It was like a whisper and a breath at the same time. I laid awake for what felt like an hour after that, too scared to roll over and look around at the room. Eventually, I fell back asleep. I kept trying to make sense of it the next day. Stress? A dream? Some weird half-awake thing? But the clarity of it didn't feel like a dream. It felt real, like someone had spoken directly to me. I tried not to overthink it, and I went home to my parents' house for the weekend. I figured sleeping in my old room with familiar walls and my dog down the hall would make me feel better, but it didn't. My second experience, the one that really shook me, happened that Saturday night. I stayed up later than I meant to and ended up falling asleep without the lamp on, which I normally never did. I've been scared of the dark since I was little, so I usually have the TV going or at least the closet light. But for whatever reason, that night I just went to bed in complete darkness. I woke up sometime before dawn because I felt the mattress shift beside me. I thought at first maybe my dog had jumped up onto the bed, even though she wasn't usually allowed in my room at night, but the weight wasn't in the middle of the bed. It was right behind my knees, like someone sat down. I laid there perfectly still. You know when your body knows something before your brain does? That's what happened. My whole body tightened instantly, like I was bracing for something I didn't want to face. I kept my eyes closed because I was too afraid to open them. The pressure stayed there just sitting like someone perched on the edge of the bed waiting. I don't know how long it lasted. It felt like 5 minutes. It could have been 30 seconds. I just kept thinking, don't move. Don't open your eyes. Don't look. Then I heard my dad get up to let the dogs out. The second he opened the back door downstairs, the weight lifted off of the bed. It didn't fade. It didn't slide. It lifted. Like whoever or whatever was sitting there got up quickly when they realized someone else was awake in the house. As soon as I heard my dad's footsteps coming back up the stairs, I called out. He opened my door, turned the light on, and the moment that light came on, the room felt normal again, like someone had hit reset. Nothing was there, of course. The bed was empty, floor empty, corner empty, but the fear stayed with me the whole rest of the day. I never had those exact two things happen again, but I've had enough smaller things, shadows where they shouldn't be, my name whispered when I'm home alone, sudden cold spots, that I know those experiences weren't just dreams. For a while, I thought maybe it was my great aunt visiting because she passed around that time and we were close. I wanted it to be her. That would have made it comforting, but I really don't know. The voice didn't sound like her. The weight on the bed didn't feel familiar. It felt like something that knew me, but not someone I knew. That part is what unsettles me the most. Sometimes I wish I could believe it was all in my head, anxiety or lack of sleep or whatever, but I know what I heard and I know what sat on that bed. Thanks for reading all of this. I'm still catching up on episodes. Honestly, it's really reassuring to hear other people out there having weird things happen too. Makes me feel less like I'm losing it. Thanks again, Marissa. You know, as I was reading that, this popped in my brain because her aunt died around that same time, but she was like, but it didn't sound like her. And the presence didn't feel like the aunt. But if you're gone on, can you make your voice just sound like it did? You know, could it be possible that you're trying to communicate and it just, you got it out wrong? You know, like, this is my first time trying this.
Well, why would it have to be the same exact voice?
And
I think the bigger question here, though, is I think it would feel like the aunt.
But see, I don't necessarily, because I think if someone sits on the bed in the middle of the night, it's just going to scare the shit out of you.
Well,
and so she might not pick up on that because it scared her. It startled her.
Possibly, but I just have a feeling that she would have had a different feeling about it. Like, there would have been some sort of comfort, even though she was startled initially. I think, as she said, it went on for a little while here.
I don't know. I just think how I would react. And if I woke up, heard a voice, I don't know that I would just assume or feel it.
Now, there's two different experiences here, though. One is the voice in the dorm that said, you don't have to be scared anymore. That's one. The other one was at her house.
Mm-hmm.
That's two. I don't know, these have to be the same thing. I wonder if Marissa is sensitive and there's some sort of spirit at the college, in the dorm rooms.
I think it would make sense for it to be the aunt because she had just passed away. She had two experiences within a pretty close time, in a close time frame, that maybe, you know, because I think even if someone I really loved died and they sat on my bed in the middle of the night, it's like, sit on my bed in a time where it's not going to scare the shit out of me. Because I don't know that I'd be open to it, because I would be more in that fight or flight mode. Like, oh my God, what is that?
Well, I think initially you'd definitely be that way, but it sounded like it didn't just go away immediately. It sounded like it was, whatever was there for a little while.
Well, she said could have been 5 minutes, could have been 30 seconds. She didn't know.
Oh, yeah. But I don't know. I'm not feeling the aunt. I'm just not. I don't know why. She does say you don't have to be scared anymore, which I think is a very interesting thing to say. that's almost as if that is the aunt, because the aunt would have known her, maybe known something about her, that there was some sort of fear from some, I don't know, event in her life or some experience that she'd had. And the aunt is saying, you know, I know what you've been through, and you don't have to be afraid. That, because it's a very personal thing, whatever this spirit said to her.
And see,
at the college.
The reason I think it is the aunt is because then it happened at her family house. And she doesn't talk about, she'd had a lot of experiences at the house. There had been, you know, this or that happened. She just mentions that one thing. There could have been a host of other things. She just did not bring that up. Mm-hmm. But that's why it makes me think it's the aunt, because the first one does feel like the aunt, and the second one is at her family home where her aunt would show up. So maybe she was like, I didn't successfully get through to her that time. I'm going to try again. Now I've scared the shit out of her.
I think you've got me talked into it. I wasn't at first, but now that you kind of talked it through a little and I've thought about what that first one said. Because why would a spirit that knows nothing, that you never knew, knows nothing about, unless this was just your, you know, protector that's there and showed up a couple of times, that's always with you kind of thing. But it does feel like somebody that knew her and knew kind of what, and I'm pretty sure Marissa would have really thought about what that meant, because she said that bothered her the whole next day. And I know that feeling where something in a dream is so vivid and they say something and it just wakes you up. And you go, that is so weird.
Well, like that one night I heard the guys talking, and still to this day, maybe it was my neighbor Caesar, but I just woke up. I'm sound asleep and I woke up to people talking. But it sounded like it was coming from in my house. So I jumped up and I was out of bed before I even knew it. So it's not like I had time to think, is this a loving presence? You know, it was just kind of more of a panic, like someone's in my house.
Yeah.
And then when I got to the door, my bed, and I turned my overhead light in my bedroom on, then I was like, it's a TV. And then when I stood there for half a second, I'm like, it's not the TV.
Yeah.
And I still heard it. So it could have been my neighbor just having a very late night party. I don't know. But I woke up in a panic.
Yeah.
So I could see how you could wake up in the middle of the night and something like that just really scares you. But I also see how your aunt would want to communicate with you and doing the best she can, you know, and it's I think it would be hard to get through to people, you know?
Yeah. And I'm pretty sure, because, you know, I want to say to Marissa, did that mean anything to you as you got thinking about it and as the days and months went on?
Yeah, that's why we should do.
Did your fears subside?
We need to change up this show once in a while and get the person with the ghost story on with us. And then we can ask them the questions.
Well, yeah, because I would like to know, like, do you now look back at it and think, you know, that did relieve some stress I was having or some fear I was having from something or some anxiety, that it changed a little bit because I realized I didn't have to be afraid? Or I think that meant something. That, more than anything in this story, really sticks out to me, too. And she said it just bothered her for a little while there. And I know that feeling. I have those happen in my dreams, and then I just sit right up. And I'm like, wake up just wide awake immediately. Like, what the hell was that? Mm-hmm. Who said that? You know? And it felt like it was outside of me. It didn't feel like it was something in my brain. It felt like somebody said it outside of me. And so I get that. But I would like to know if it did change her in any way.
Mm-hmm. And did the aunt ever successfully come through?
Yeah, and did the boyfriend, like, not be so grumpy in the middle of the night when you were having a difficult time?
Aunt could have acknowledged, like, I know your aunt just died.
Yeah.
But that's why it kind of makes me think of it as being the aunt, because that would be something as an aunt I would do. I would sit on the edge of the bed by your kids and just watch them sleep when they were little, which sounds kind of like a stalker person. But I did it in a loving way. I liked to, I liked to, when they fell asleep, when we're reading books. And, you know, it was just a very special time.
Well, I'd be, that would be interesting to know.
Yeah.
If it did change her.
Yeah. So let's go to this phone call.
Hi, my name is Ashton. I've got one story to tell about my own grandmother, and my mother and aunt have always had a very, very tumultuous relationship. My mother and her sister are very close in age, and I think that has something to do with the sibling rivalry. My grandmother happened to, her second marriage was to a man who became very wealthy throughout the course of their marriage. He helped work on the original software that became the ATM machine. It wasn't the ATM machine, it was whatever prototype that became the ATM machine later on in our society. She died a very wealthy woman. However, there was a trip that my aunt and my mother took to New York in November, roughly, of 2015. We all knew that in family that was going to be a horrific experience and it was going to end disastrously, and it did. Things continued over with the family drama, and long story short, there was a falling out between me, my sister, and my mother, all on our side, and my aunt, my cousin, and my grandmother. That's a long, boring story. What's important is that my grandmother had just beaten cancer, and she had a heart condition that no one really knew how serious it was until April of 2016. I was actually doing a local community theater show, and it was Tech Week right before we had our preview night of Mary Poppins. And I came up during intermission to change into my Step in Time costume, and I had three missed calls from my mother. And I thought nothing of it until I looked up and my grandfather had been called about 20 minutes later. While we were halfway through the second act of the show, I couldn't call him. So when we finally ended the show, it's about 11:30 at night. Long story short, all communication was severed between my side of the family and my mom's side of the family. So I get this phone call from my grandfather, and I called him back, and he let me know that my grandmother had passed away. And it was kind of insane because, you know, she passed away before anybody had been able to say, I'm sorry. And things had gotten bad enough that, like, even on social media, she had blocked my side of the family, and I had blocked her telephone number. Just it was all sorts of petty, stupid drama that really shouldn't have happened, but it did. And so about a month after Mary Poppins had closed, I'm asleep in my room. I was moving from one apartment to the next. My room is, you know, strewn about with boxes, and it's kind of empty. And I went to bed that night, and for whatever reason, in my dream, it was Thanksgiving. And my grandmother, who had never, ever in life ever been immobile, is sitting, running around in a motorized wheelchair. In the dream, I've just finished college, and I'm moving from apartment to apartment, and she has some things for me to go out to her car with her to go getting that she's giving me a chance to sort through before I move, and she's going to get rid of it anyway so I can go check and see if I want it. And on our way out to the car, she's telling me about some sort of family reunion that's going on, and she was going to email me the details or send them to me on Facebook. She just kind of, in the middle of the dream, she's like, oh, that's right, I can't send them to you on Facebook, because she blocked me in real life. And then she said, well, that's fine, I'll text them to you. Oh, that's right, because she had, you know, she'd passed away, and we had no way of communicating with each other before she passed away. And it was at that moment in the dream that she stopped, and she looked at me. And it was like half her face had a stroke, because half her face just went limp. And the other half of her mouth, especially, her lips started to quiver like she was going to cry. And, you know, at that point I was, oh, no. I jumped in. I was like, no, it's okay. Don't worry about it. Like, I'm not hurt. I'm not angry at you. And then, boom, I woke up. Now, the thing is, I always sleep with my television on or a light on or something. It just makes me feel like there's life in the room. So I'd gone to bed with my PlayStation looping something from Netflix, something I didn't mind missing a whole lot of episodes of. And in that particular apartment, it was wired, it's an old apartment. So it was wired so that you had to have the light switch on for anything in the room to work. Meaning if I wanted to turn off my light at night, I had to pull the string on the fan to turn the light off in the room. Well, when I woke up from this dream, having spoken to my grandmother, who's, you know, deceased before I had the dream, the light switch was on, but everything in my room was off. Now, I mean, it could have been a power surge, but I was freaked out. So I woke up and I pulled everything in the room and nothing would come on. So I went and I flipped the switch, which was on, meaning everything should have been operational. The switch was up, but nothing would work. So I flipped everything down and then tried again, and it was like everything had slipped. So all of a sudden I could use it, but the switch had to be down. And there was no other switch in the room, so it wasn't like, you know, I had one up and one down. I just needed to turn the other one on. It the polarity had switched entirely. For the next month or so, lingered. That's the only way I can explain it. It lingered. It was very thick. It was very, very heavy. I ran into a friend who does dream interpretations. I didn't know until I had told her about this story that she even did them, and she told me that that's a classic case of a visitation dream. So thank you for listening. Bye.
Well, 100% visitation dream. I think it's sad, though, because I think she needed the visitation dream because they had stopped all communication.
Yeah.
You know, so she really needed that from her grandmother.
She did. And her grandmother needed it from her.
Yeah.
Like I really feel like, you know, once you die, I just truly believe in my heart, we will get answers to a lot of things and we will be able to see a bigger picture more clearly. So we understand the other side of things better. Here we're so blocked at times from being able to understand what other people are going through. And so once she dies, number one, I think it's all just not a big deal anymore. Right.
I think she said the whole thing was stupid.
Yeah. And I think that's just petty stuff that we realize that, or that we will, it just won't even be a thing when you pass away. But what will be is to go back and make amends with people and let them know that you love them. And I truly believe these visitation dreams are the way people do that, and that they can come back, go into your subconscious, let you know they love you. The things, everything else, it's water under the bridge. Who cares? Right? You know, you weren't there on time or whatever. What the fuck, right? I mean, none of that makes any difference in the big picture. In life, it's hard to let things go. But if we could step back and see the total picture, we could understand better. I think not only do we see the total picture, it becomes just totally irrelevant in the afterlife. What does matter is going back and letting people know that you care.
I thought it was interesting, though, that she woke up from that dream and everything had been flipped off. Like, it was almost like the breaker had gone off, because, like, the switch was in the right position. Things should have been turned on, but they weren't. They were turned off. So to have this weird dream, because a visitation dream is weird anyway, because you wake up a little confused and it's like, I was just there with grandma, now I'm not, and nothing's on and it's supposed to be on. I sleep with the TV on. I never go to sleep with it off. I think that just added to it.
Well, it almost makes you wonder if there was this kind of electrical surge that maybe grandmother really was there.
It just seems so connected to me.
How could it not be?
But I think that's a good life lesson for everybody.
Yeah.
To, you know, like, you know, it's bad when your grandmother is blocking you on Facebook.
Oh, God.
And you have blocked your own grandmother. You know, things have gotten out of control. Time to go talk to grandma and just be like, okay, we need to figure this out.
And not just that, but I do realize that there, don't get me wrong, I'm not trying to preach to anybody about what to do, because there are times I truly believe in your life you have to pull away from somebody for your own safety and sanity.
Yes, you and I have both done that.
Right. I do believe that there comes that point too. But as she was talking about it, she said, you know, it was a stupid thing. It wasn't even a big deal. So when if we could just, you know, realize what's really more important is each other. Mm-hmm. And, you know, saying I'm sorry to somebody probably is no big deal. It's, you know, if I don't say I'm sorry once a day for something, I haven't, you know, been paying attention. I trip over something every single day and need to apologize
to the thing. I'm so sorry.
To anybody.
Inanimate object that I just tripped over.
Well, or just trip over my words, say the wrong thing, do the wrong thing. You know, it's just kind of constant. But I think we need to try to get things in perspective as best as we can. Is it a big deal? Do you really need to pull away, or, you know, maybe just let some time go and then fix it? But like she said, Grandma died before that length of time.
Well, you know, I hope passed. That she realizes that that was a gift, that Grandma came back and, you know, was like, hey,
I agree.
I'm not carrying this with me in the afterlife. Mm-hmm. So that was good, I think. So if you have a story that you'd like to share with us, please, if you want to leave us a voicemail, it's 855-853-4802. You can also write it down. Go to realghoststoriesonline.com. And if you would like to become a premium subscriber, get advanced episodes, access to the archive, and no commercials, you could do that through Apple Podcasts or patreon.com/realghoststories. And for all of us here at Real Ghost Stories Online, thank you so much for listening.